This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Radio K Pulpit. This is She Excels. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm your girl, Eni Sone. I'm sure the Lord has blessed you, and the Lord is blessing you, and the Lord will bless you. This day is a day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We are women excelling in that which God has called us to. We are becoming experts. We are developing and growing and stretching and moving forward. And welcome to another episode of She Excels. Amen. And it's all about helping you to know that you were created for more. To know that you were created for more. God created you for more than what you can imagine, ask, or think. Amen. And my assignment is to call you higher, to help you live with vision and to walk in God's purpose for your life, to build with mastery and to shine with excellence. That's what I'm calling you, woman listening to me right now, too. And as She Excels, we will help you to discover God's blueprint for true success. Success by the book. The book is the Bible. And I want you to believe that this is your time. As long as you have life, if you can listen to me, if you hear me right now at the sound of my voice, this is your time. And this is your call. If today you hear his word, do not harden your heart. Obey his word. Obey his voice. Amen. At She Excels, we are becoming the women God designed us to be. And once more, if you just tune in, I'm your host, Eni. And today we're continuing with our series. You know, this is the last part of it, so don't miss it. Don't tune out. We are continuing with our series of 8 winning systems to help you accomplish your goals. And we heard about the statistics that in February, 80% of people abandon their goals. And that statistics should not apply to me or to you. And if you have put into practice all the systems we spoke about since we started this series, you are heading for a successful year. Hallelujah. So today I want us to talk about finishing strong. We're going to look at reviewing and accountability and rising up after failure. These are systems that we are going to unpack for you that you should not miss. You should stay tuned. Why? Because many women start the year strong, but very few of them finish. So excellence is not proven in January enthusiasm. It is revealed in consistent review, godly accountability, and resilient faith when things don't go as planned. Winning, you know, this year, achieving our goals, 8 systems that will help you win. And today we are wrapping up and talking about 3 of those systems. And I want to start with number 1, that is the 6th in our series. Review your progress consistently. Review your progress consistently. This has been a game changer for me. Before, when I started doing goals, you know, passionate about setting goals, when I learned about it earlier on, when I just gave my heart to Jesus, it was yearly reviews that I did. As I got much more, you know, committed to the Lord, understanding his purpose for my life, I became one who looked at it, you know, maybe every 6 months, or just have a check on it more than just once. Then I moved on from there, and it became something that I did quarterly. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm doing quarterly. Before long, last year was amazing. I did it every month. Wow. It changed everything. You know, one of the systems we talked about was keeping the vision before your eyes. And we talked about 3 things, how you do that. And we looked at praying for it. We talked about dwelling on the word that speaks to it. We talked about a vision, you know, that vision boards, like putting it before your eyes in pictures, because we are in pictures, right? But then this reviewing of your goal is one way of putting it before your eyes. But I decided to put it on its own as a system, because it's something that will help you unpack a lot of things. It will help you assess whether you did your planning well, whether you were even focusing on the right thing, you know, whether you have some things that you need to develop, that you're the reason why you're not doing, just because you don't have some skills that need to be developed. You've not met some people that are critical to where you're going to review. viewing has become a game changer for me and has shifted a lot of things. So a goal that is not reviewed will eventually be abandoned. I want to bet you, you know, and abandoned for the wrong reason, because sometimes you will have to abandon some certain goals because they really are not specific, they are not relevant, they can never be achieved, you know, and there is really no time for you to do it this year, because if you want to look at the time-bound aspect of the SMART acronym, your time-bound is like many years from now, and you're focusing right now this year on some critical things that have to be done this year. So it is very important for you to know that if you do not review your goal consistently, chances are that it's very easy for you to abandon them. So review your goal is not a sign of failure. We don't do it to say, why did I fail? No. It is a sign of wisdom and stewardship. I want to make sure this thing works. Where am I failing? Where am I improving? There are some critical questions that I ask myself when I'm reviewing that helps me unpack certain things and set goals for the next quarter or for the next month or for the next week, you know, depending on how often you review your goals. It really brings to light the truth of the reality of what it is you're facing, and you're able to make strategic decisions around those goals, you know, very, very important. So again, when you review, you see how far you've come, you identify what needs adjustment, and you redistribute your time, energy, and resources. Redistribution. You say, okay, I gave 80% to this thing. Now it's almost done. Now let me now give 50% to it to finalize it while allocating the other 30% to something that needs to kick off, you know, and momentum needs to go in that direction. So it helps you to do all of those things. So this is where many women get discouraged, when progress feels slow. You feel like, oh, I'm reviewing and I'm seeing that, oh my God, I'm not going far in this thing. So no, that is not the attitude that you must take. Let me say something that I learned from Terry Sevel. For she once shared that when she wanted to shrink her goals because they were slow, and she said, Lord, maybe I'm doing too many things, of course, which was a good question to ask, because she was not achieving things, and she was like, maybe I should just reduce it and just say any or whoever your name is, this is what you can do, this is all you can do. And that's a way of escaping, that you should get yourself doing the things God wants you to do and not shrinking them because you think, oh, it's too much or I can't do it. But you have the capacity for it and it can be done. But you take the lazy lane, you know, the path of least resistance, so that you escape achieving them. That's not what we're talking about. So she was about doing this. She said, I'm going to shrink my goals because my progress is slow. But this is what the Lord told her. Don't shrink your dreams, enlarge your faith. So now the reviewing of her goals made her to get God to speak to her. Say, it's not about shrinking it, my dear. Enlarge your faith. So when you take this act, you embark on this system of reviewing your goal, you're going to invite God to speak into certain areas, and he's going to give you strategies. And she did just what the Lord did told her to do. She enlarged her faith and believed that this thing is possible. And by the time the year was ending, she was able to tick off and realize the goals that she wanted to shrink before. Sometimes you just need an enlargement. Amen. So this is a word for this season that you need to hold on to. Though the vision tarries, I will wait for it. That's Habakkuk 2:3. Though the vision tarries, because a lot of things that will be revealed to you during your review will not make you feel happy, you know. But that's why when you review, you also have to write, what is it that I have made progress? What are my wins for the month? What are my wins for the week? What were the wins for the year? And what contributed to these wins? Because it just gives you that joy in your heart to keep pressing on, even with other things that you felt like you didn't do anything. So know that delay is not denial, and slowness is not failure. It is progress. Slow means that I'm making progress, and this thing actually needs time. So one of the things I've realized during review is that those goals you write, I want to do this now, then when you start it, you realize that there's this other thing that needs to happen before I get to this stage, and there's this other, that's why proper planning is important. So you go back to one of our systems we talked about, proper planning, very, very key. So if you have proper planning in place, it means you've put in place different steps that are critical to that and relevant for that goal to be achieved, and that makes it easier for you to achieve them. So reviewing helps you to look at it again and say, I gave 2 months to get this done, but I realize it's in its 5 months because there are some other things that are beyond my control. So some of the questions I ask is, I always make sure that your review questions are questions that are within your control. You're not trying to put things that are out of your control in your goals, because that will frustrate you. If there are things that are within your control, did you do them? So what was within my control that made me slip on this one? Then I go and correct that one. Amen. So here are some things that I just want to share. So delay unrealistic goals. Do not delete them. So you delay unrealistic goals. The ones that you know in this season, not necessary. Now it's important. I must accomplish them in this year. But this month, as I'm doing my monthly review, I don't need to worry about that. I didn't take them off because I need to continue with them. So I'm not deleting them. I'm just delaying them because they need more time. Amen. Reassess using a fresh SWOT analysis. So this is what you're going to do. You need to reassess. What are your weaknesses, your strengths, your opportunity, and the threats that surround this goal right now? Maybe they did not surround the goal in January. Maybe they did not surround the goal in February. But now they are surrounding the goal, or they will surround the goal. Do a fresh set of SWOT analysis, because your things have changed. We have moved. The year days have gone into this year. So we need to look at things with a fresh lens and ask ourselves what must change, or what must be added, what must be taken away. So learn more about your strength and your limitation. That is key. Double down on your strengths. Double down on your strength. That is your area of flow. You know, learn what are your strengths and then know what are your limitations so you can work around them. What can I do to work around this limitation so they don't stop me? They don't stop me. Learn about them. And when you do your review on a monthly basis, you're going to notice your strengths, because of some of the questions I ask you when you're doing your review is, what contributed to the success, the wins you had? And when you start unpacking that, those questions, what contributed to the wins I had, you're going to see a trend that it looks like I'm this kind of a person. And because I'm this kind of a person, it means I can do this kind of a thing. And then you keep applying that skill or that gift in other areas so that you can see wins in that area. Amen. Very, very important. So delay unrealistic goals. That's what you're going to do when you go through your review. What must be delayed? Reassess using a fresh SWOT analysis, given your current circumstances. Learn more about your strength and your limitations. So assessment is going to help you do that. So those are the things that reviewing will help you do. So I want us to reflect on these questions right now before we take a break. How often do you review your goals? Daily? Weekly, monthly, quarterly? I told you I've tried all of them. Amen. I've tried all of them. I'm more consistent now, quarterly and monthly, than I am weekly. But weekly, I'm building momentum this year. I'm moving there. Weekly review. I do planning weekly, but weekly review, I've not really gotten the hang of it right now, but I'm getting there. Very soon, daily is going to be my norm. I'm growing, right? You too. Another question, do you review emotionally or objectively? Emotions go up and down. Objectivity looks at the goal and strategic. So make sure that you do not allow your emotions to make you take something out because you felt angry and worried and tomorrow you're like, oh, why did I stop doing that? Why did I miss that opportunity? No, be objective. Tell your emotions to come under the submission to the Holy Spirit and go objectively. So let's just wrap up this session. You need to evaluate. You need to make sure you are doing your progress checks on a monthly basis, quarterly basis, and then you're celebrating your wins. Amen. So let's declare. I do not abandon my goals prematurely. I review with wisdom and adjust with faith. I am enlarging my faith right now. I'm not shrinking my dreams. I'm enlarging my faith. I'm not shrinking my dreams. Let us pray. Lord, give me eyes to see progress clearly. Help me to steward vision with patience and faith, and teach me how to adjust without quitting, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we are just unpacking the winning systems that will help us achieve our goals. And we're wrapping this session up with the last three systems that we need to just bring into the cohort so that we are moving forward. No delays, no distractions, no giving up, no overwhelm, no oh Lord, I'm so tired. Yes, you will be tired, yet you'll be pursuing because you have the right systems in place. Systems work for us. Systems are like automations that we put in our lives that just make things happen when we even don't feel like doing it. I don't want us to allow our emotion to dictate our lives this year. We are led by the Spirit, and we are led by the Spirit, and the Spirit helps us to put in place strategic systems that make it possible for us to keep going irrespective of what is happening around us, within us, with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk about the next system. This is the seventh system. It is accountability. It is growing with help. Each of us need help. I need help. You know, one of the things I settled in my heart when God called me to build other women is the importance of coaches and mentors and people who be pushing you forward and say go. And many women lack this kind of community, and that's why I even created one for myself, you know, where I just said, you know what, if I don't have it, I'm going to create one. And I'm not creating one because I want to, but because God needs me to create one so that I can actually fulfill His purpose for my life, the Excelling Women Academy. It's a community that is really going to help you stay accountable, because we need each other. We grow with help. So no one can finish strong alone. You cannot achieve those goals alone. Even if you're determined as what you would, successful people have people checking on them and saying, hey, you said you would do this. Are you doing it? Sometimes you just need that, because our minds, our brains always want to defend us, say, no, it's too much, just rest, just take it slowly, let it go, you know, always trying to keep you safe. Why you have work to do? No, it has to serve you to help you do it. We're not saying burnout. No, not burnout. We're talking about having the right community. The Bible says your company is going to corrupt you, or your company will build you. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, the people, they say the five people that surround you tells you who you are. The people that you allow in your inner circles, maybe your spiritual inner circle, your business inner circle, your ministry inner circle, your family inner circle, all of these people are influencing you one way or the other. So though it's an important thing, it's a very, very delicate thing that you must be careful who comes into your circle, because it's iron that will sharpen iron. It's iron that will sharpen iron. If you want to sharpen iron, you need another iron. So make sure that the people that you're introducing into your community are people who are going somewhere, are people who are diehard about God, are people who want to see their goals accomplished, are people who call you out and say, hey, wake up, you're sleeping, are people who are intentional about your growth, your life, you know, about God's purposes for your life. You cannot bring people in who are going nowhere, because that's where you go, nowhere. So it's so important. Jesus walked with the 12 disciples. Jesus created a community around him. Even John the Baptist, he had disciples. Disciples are people who were following what he was doing, making him feel really accountable to them and say, hey, I can't let these people down. They're expecting from me. What will I give them? What will I feed them? There's just, even if you don't have a person who is like a senior person who has gone long way before you and is ahead of you by many steps, you can become a mentor or a coach to others. And because they are in your life, it makes you run, because you need to feed them, right? So it's important to know that either way, whether you're a mentee or you're a mentor, that community stretches you. That community calls you out. Amen. So Paul had Barnabas, you know, Timothy and Silas. He had these people who walked with him. Think about it. We all need a community. You know, even the church. The church is made up of people. The church is not a building. There's the people who we have one mission to get the gospel out there and win people for the Lord. And we strengthen each other. We are equipping each other by the giftings that God has given us. So accountability is not control. Take note of that. And some people have taken it out of hand, that this person is controlling my life. This person is telling me what to do, how to do it. No, 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 no. It's not control. It is love expressed through faith and through truth, rather. love expressed through truth. The truth is that they are telling you what is, like you don't see the blind spots in your life. We are oblivious to some of the blind spots. We are all running with that vision and running, and we forgot to take care of this, take care of that, because we can't see everything. We need people in our lives. Even in those days, the kings needed a priest to bring them back to order as far as the word of God was concerned, the laws that the Israelites had to obey. Many of the kings forgot the laws because they did not have in place the right priest to bring them back in order. So the priest, there's this king, they say, as long as Zechariah was priest, Joash, the king, stayed faithful to God. You know, I didn't put that in my notes, so I'm just speaking, but you go check it out. There was this king who stayed faithful because there was a priest in his life. So we need people who are our accountability partners, or who are our mentors, our coaches, to get us going. If you don't have that community, look for it as soon as possible, as SAP, ASAP, you know. It's so important. So an accountability partner should be able to do what? Correct you, rebuke you, love you, encourage you, all out of genuine love. Genuine love. This person is interested in your progress and not their progress. They will find their own person that is interested in their progress. But as far as them coming into your life for you is to help you be who God says you are, and to open your eyes to see areas you're missing, mistakes you're making. It's not like they are perfect people. They are not perfect, because they too need accountability partners. They just have a foresight that you don't have. Even if they are your equal, they will see places that you are not paying attention to and draw your attention to it, because they want you to succeed. And the scripture that really puts this down is iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another. Amen. So what do you look for when you are trying to search for your accountability partner? This is a system that works. If you have an accountability partner, I remember myself, I was writing a book and I was just so slow in writing and taking my time and doing my things. And the Lord made me to understand that if you go at this pace, you will do nothing. So get somebody who is going to keep you accountable. So I had my friend, my beloved friend Melody. I told her, I said, every Monday I must tell you where I am as far as this book is concerned. She said, okay, let's do it. And that made me to push the book, because I know Monday is coming. What am I going to tell Melody? I can't repeat what I told her last time. And so sometimes she herself asks me if I don't want to even talk to her. I don't want to say it because I've not done anything. Then she will ask me. So we have those kind of relationships, you know. So when you're looking for an accountability partner, you have to first of all look for one who is committed to Jesus, committed to God and the things of God. You have to look for somebody who is spiritually mature, right? You have to look for somebody who has been proven in the area of discipline, because you have to be working on something consistently. If somebody who easily just gives up and does not want to pay the price, the person will tell you, leave it, go and sleep, relax. Yeah, sometimes they'll tell you to sleep and relax because they know what you've put in so far and you need to get a break. God rested after he created for 6 days. So you need people who have been proven to be disciplined people, especially in the area that you are introducing them into your life. You need people who are growing in the areas that you desire. Amen. They have known growth in the area that you desire. When I see somebody who is very disciplined and I know that I have an issue with discipline, I want to hang around that person. I might not be physically in their presence, but I listen to them consistently so that I am able to learn how they are. Like Paul told Timothy to imitate him as he imitated Christ. Those are the kind of people that we may need in our lives, right? So they have grown in that area. If you are wanting to go into ministry, who has grown in ministry? If you want to go into business, who has grown in business? Look for people who have gone one step or two steps ahead of you in that area. Another thing is experience. That a people have experience, so they can talk to you based on what they know. They have a story, and that story also includes failure, yet they didn't give up. So those are the kind of people that you should look for. So you don't need one person for everything. You can't. There's nobody who has everything, spiritual, business, every, no. find, I call it my advisory board. That's what I teach in my community. Get yourself an advisory board, just as businesses have advisory board, have one for your life that speak into these areas. Amen. So they need to, you need the right voice in the right areas of your life, not one person doing everything. So some practical things that you need to do: list potential mentors or accountability partners. You list them, you know them, list them. I did that assignment for myself and I'll keep doing it. Assign them to specific goal areas or vision areas. Amen. And intentionally invite accountability. Ask them, please help me in this area. It's difficult. Please help yourself. I've tried it. I've had accountability partners here and there. They keep changing. Even this year, I'm praying into that and asking God to show me, you know, who must come in, who must come in these different areas as I unpack what God is calling me to do. So that's what you need to do. Amen. So reflect on these questions. Who has permission to speak truth into my life? Well, ask yourself, are you accountable or just dependent? Some of us, we're just waiting for people to just spoon feed us. Are you accountable or you're just dependent on the person? Oh, help me this, help. No, no. You need to be making progress and showing that person that you are doing something. So it even encourages a person to keep helping you where they can. Let us declare this together. I welcome godly accountability. I go through counsel and correction. I'm sharpened, not threatened by truth. Let us pray. Lord, connect me to the right voices. Remove pride and isolation from my journey. Plant me in relationships that help me grow. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the last lap and we are talking about our last system. And I would like to know from you what systems you have put in place that I've not spoken about that is helping you. So please let us know. You can WhatsApp us. Just WhatsApp the word system and we will know and tell us what is it. So you start your WhatsApp with systems and then you write GXL so that we know what program you were listening to when you talked about you're sharing your own contributions. So what is it that you are putting in place that has helped you? As we wrap up this series on the 8 winning systems to help you achieve your goal, I would like to know. Amen. So bear that in mind. Yes. So I am on my 8th one. You know, I've exhausted what works for me and what I can share with you. Amen. And the last one is so tricky. The last one is learning to fail forward, rising with wisdom. You have to learn, you have to have a good relationship with failure. You need to put that in place. You need to put that system in place, the bounce back system from failure. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16 that for a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. You say, I fell, I'm abandoning the goal. No, you're not abandoning it. You're rising again. You're rising again with wisdom, with strategy, with knowledge, with experience, right? Many believers do not have a good experience with failure. We have misunderstood what failure is. Many people in the world understand what failure is. They know it. They have used it as a springboard and not as a death sentence, right? You don't need to do that because the Bible has already told us that we fall. We fall, but we rise again. There's a song by Donnie McLaughlin's. He sang it many, many years ago. I will not try to sing. Let me not destroy it, but just a little bit of it. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down, but he didn't stay there and got up. Okay, that's how far I can go. But just that learning that the scripture has always, we are not perfect people. We are righteous in Christ. The righteousness we have is not our own. It's the one Jesus has imputed upon us. And he's given us what we need to live life and to live godly lives. Now we have the ability to do what God wants us to do, to obey the 10 commandments. We never had it before. We now have the fruit of the Spirit in us that helps us to love, to be joyful, to be kind, to be nice. All those things we didn't have. We had a sinful nature that was obvious to produce terrible things in us. Right now, we've got the newness that has come from Jesus. So we are being developed and being renewed and transformed from glory to glory. Our minds are being renewed. We are being renewed to become the people God has created us to be. So give yourself grace and know that you will fall, but you cannot stay there. You need to rise again. So I'm learning this the hard way. This system is hard. This is what I say now. I did not fail. I just learned. That's the system I have. I did not fail. I just learned. What did I learn? I learned something that is not working. Amen. So let me get back to my notes so that I just share with you everything I've put in place here for you. Hallelujah. So the scripture we read in Proverbs 24:16. It says, for the righteous man falls seven times and rises again. I want you to notice that the righteous falls, but does not remain. So when you start feeling like, oh, any say we shouldn't abandon our goals, I just abandon mine, I'm feeling bad, I'm feeling discouraged and so on. Why couldn't I put these systems in place? They are not working for me. I've tried. No. Know that it's normal. You're not doing anything strange. That feeling overwhelmed, feeling like, oh, things did not go, failing in some things. It's normal. Don't see failure as an abnormal thing. It's normal. But what is abnormal is staying on the floor. That's what is abnormal. We're going to wake up from there. Maybe we wake up and say we're not doing that goal again because we have no business even pursuing it in the first place. Or we'll wake up knowing that that strategy did not work. We need to try something else. You will wake up to something. Amen. Rising means I've gotten a new way to do this thing. I'm strengthening myself. I'm rising again. I'll stand again as far as this thing is concerned. So failure is not proof that you are disqualified. It is often evidence that you're trying. I did some things, but I slipped. I'm rising again. So let's redefine failure. Failure is I did not fail. I learned. I told you that. That's my new definition. I just learned. So failure is feedback. It is training. It is refinement. It is growth in disguise. Yes, it's a springboard. If a method didn't work, you now know what to change. Okay? You now know what to change. Now, let's just dive in to some practical wisdom about failure. When failure happens, take stock of small wins. Take stock of small wins. That's how you rise again. When failure happens, identify new habits that have been formed. Oh my God, this is a game changer. When you're developing habits, it takes time. A habit is something you do effortlessly. But how did you get to it doing it effortlessly? You did it many times until you got to a point where you did not have to think about it. You just did it. Think about when you first started driving. And you had to look at the rear view mirror, you had to look at the side mirror, then you had to look at in front of you, you need to change your brakes, you need to put down your brakes, put up your brakes. You were doing multiple things at the same time and you were like, oh my God, I cannot drive, this is just too much. But now, effortlessly, you are thinking about cooking, you're thinking about that child, you're driving to that destination, but you're doing all those things without even paying attention to them and being intentional about them. They have become normal. What happened? You did it over and over again and it became second nature. So that's what you need to know. You need to identify the new habits that have crept in as a result of falling and standing and falling and standing and so on and so forth. Like I told you, when doing your review, you need to ask yourself what contributed to this win. And then you double down on that and you apply that to other areas. Because you have become this person who is able to do things like this. Amen. When failure happens, capture lessons learned. What lesson have I learned about me, about God, about the people I'm called to serve, about my environment, about my tools? What lessons have I learned? Lessons. So that's a springboard because you learn something. And anything that you have learned, you are kilometers or steps away from another person who has not learned it. But you learned it through failure? Of course you did. And some people don't even have that opportunity to fail. So therefore they don't even have the opportunity to learn. So don't be afraid of failure. Let's redefine how we perceive it. Very, very important. If not, you will stay stuck, you will cry, you will give up, and then you have depression and every other thing that comes with that. We need to make failure know that we're going to work it up. We're going to workshop it and squeeze out the juice that comes out of it for our benefit. Amen. So capture the lessons learned. When failure happens, celebrate growth, not just outcomes. So many of us want to tick the box. I wanted a blue cup. I got a blue cup. You tick the box. What about the journey towards the blue cup? What about the journey towards the mission? What about the journey towards the school? What about the journey towards losing weight? What about the journey towards becoming an ardent reader of the word? What about the journey? Just want to tick up. I read 10 chapters of my Bible. What about the things you forgo to sit down to read the Bible? What about the confusion you had when you were reading those scriptures and you were not understanding it? What about how you learned to read it in a way that made you understand them and not just the number of chapters that you read? Think about it. So celebrate your growth and not the outcomes. Many women aim at the sun and hit the stars, and that is still progress. And that is set audacious goals. They call them big, hairy, audacious goals. Set big, hairy, audacious goals that God has called you to. Yes, achievable and relevant, but they should stretch you. Like a rubber band, they don't break, but they stretch you. You think, look at a rubber band. You can stretch the rubber band to a very far, a big, to expand, but it does not break. That is how you should set your goals. Don't set goals that break you. Set goals that stretch you. So you are going to aim for the sun, but make sure you hit the stars. James 1:2-4 teaches us that trials produce maturity. So embrace it. Amen. So some reflection questions as we wrap up. What have you learned from your past failures? What have you learned from your past failures? Are you condemning yourself or coaching yourself? Hey, say that again. Are you condemning yourself or coaching yourself? You need to coach yourself. Coach yourself. Ask yourself some coaching questions. I always ask the people in my program coaching questions, because coaching questions help them to unpack some truths and things that can help them go forward and not bring them back. So don't condemn yourself. Coach yourself. What did I learn? What must I do? What must leave? What must that, you know, what is my next milestone? So you look at the next milestone and not the big goal. So go milestone by milestone. Maybe I need to break down this goal into milestones to help me achieve them. And I focus on a milestone and not look at a bigger picture so that I don't feel like I've failed. Amen. Let's make some declarations. I arise after I fall. I rise after every fall. Amen. That's it. You have to. That's what the Bible says. You have to. I rise after every fall. Failure trains me. It does not define me. Amen. I grow wiser, stronger, and more resilient. You need to be resilient. You need to have grit. I cannot stop this series without talking about you having grit and resilience. Don't give up, because that's what the devil wants. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord has come to give you life and life abundantly. John 10:10. Do not fall for failure. Rise. Use it as a springboard. So let us pray. Lord, heal my relationship with failure. Very important. Teach me to learn, to rise, and to continue. I choose progress over perfection in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In our last session, I was asking you, what systems do you have in place that have helped you? I would like to know. I'm a learner. I want to know. Hallelujah. And share it with other people. Share what is working for you with other people. The Bible says, let your light so shine. Light is something that you know, something you have, something you've experienced, something that is your strength. Let it shine before men so that they may see what God is doing through you and glorify God and also change their lives. So share, as I'm sharing with you, share this podcast or this episode with somebody so that they know that it is possible to keep running with your goal, irrespective of all the other things that are outside your control, the threats, you know, the limitations. And double down on your strengths, double down on your opportunities. You know, we cannot do much with what is outside of our control. But we definitely have responsibility, and take that responsibility for what is within our control. So today I was wrapping up with three systems that make for you being a woman who can achieve the goals God has called you to do this year. And we're looking at finishing strong. We looked at the review, accountability, and rising up after failure. And if this has spoken to you, this particular episode has spoken to you, we would love to hear from you, you know, at Radio Cape Pulpit. Send us a WhatsApp at 081-729-1657 and email us, or email us at info@capepulpit.co.za. We want to know if this show is making a difference in your life and how we can improve it to help you on your journey towards fulfilling your purpose. Amen. And I want you to remember this, that excellent women don't quit. They learn, they adjust, and they rise again. They learn, they adjust, and they rise again. So we've looked at a couple of systems. We talked about putting the vision before your eyes. We talked about having goals that are aligned with your purpose. We talked about doing time blocking. We talked about the ones we talked about, having a system of review. We talked about the accountability. We talked about rising after you fall, having a healthy relationship with failure. We talked about having routines in place that help you to keep doing the things effortlessly, and so on and so forth. I don't know which one I have missed. We talked about having an accountability partner. So please take these 8 systems and put them in your life, and we will get out of that statistics that says 80% of people do not achieve their goals because they abandon it by February. Can you imagine? And we're not going to be one of those. We are going ahead to ensure that what God has placed in us, we do it. We are accountable, we are responsible, and God is waiting for us to show up. Amen. So goals fail not because they were not set, but because they do not have systems in place to make it happen. So the real question is, do people really have systems to sustain the change they desire? Now we've given you some systems. Go ahead and put them into practice. God bless you, and see you in our next show. I'm your host, Annie. Bye-bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.